It comes as no surprise. Shahar Zanayev has been found guilty of the 2013 bombings at the Boston Marathon. It turned out to be across the board after 11 hours of deliberations over 2 days. The jurors found Zanayev guilty on all 30 counts and many more subcounts. It's day 19, and this is Finish Line inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial. From the Moakley Federal Courthouse, I'm David Boeri for WBUR.
And I'm Kevin Cullen with the Boston Globe.
Kevin, this is no surprise to either one of us. I got to tell you, there is still drama, and the drama was the reading of the charges and the verdicts by the juries. It's the voice of the people, and we kept on hearing four names, the names of the four dead: Lindsay Liu, Crystal Campbell, Sean Collier, and, of course, 8-year-old Martin Richard.
Yeah, there was a rhythm to the repetition of the names. It really was striking. I kept my eye on Bill Richard and Denise Richard, and Bill had his arm around Denise's shoulder, and Bill was very stoic, and Denise, I could see at some point she was showing some emotion, wiping tears, and at one or two points she turned and looked specifically. I could see she was looking at Shahar Zanayev, who stood between his lawyers showing no emotion, which he hadn't showed the whole trial. Why would he show it now? And she kept searching. If Denise Richard was looking for an answer there, she wasn't going to find it.
No, I looked at Shahar as impassive as he was throughout the trial. He had his arms wrapped around himself for a long time, occasionally put his hands in his pocket. He looked gangly and awkward, as he has through the whole time. Never really looked. He had his just an angle. He kept an angle on the jurors. Not one of them looked at him. They looked at the judge, and when they came in, directly ahead, they never looked at him. But boy, their voice was loud. It was clear, and it was most definite.
Yeah. Paul Linus, the clerk, said guilty so many times, I lost count.
I noticed it took him so long that he went to the glass of water twice to take a break to keep his voice going.
Yeah.
So there was some reaction outside today, limited amount of reaction. Mm-hmm. Karen Broussard, who was injured during the bombings, spoke for the victims. Mm. And she was plain and simple. And that has often touched me during this whole trial. Simple, plain words from so many people, the survivors, families, saying that this is another step to closure.
Yeah.
Liz Norton had two sons. One of those stories that we heard that just made you want to cry. Two sons, both lost their right legs, one below the knee, the other above the knee.
And they were roofers. They lost their livelihood.
That's right. And she said she wants to see the death penalty.
To see Mrs. Broussard out there, it made me think of her husband, Ron, who was bleeding out, bleeding to death on Boylston Street on the sidewalk, when a young man named Rob Wheeler, who had finished the marathon, just ran over and peeled off the sweaty shirt off his back and tied off Ron Broussard's leg. And he lived. And it made me think about what we have just gone through. As much as what happened during those 16 days of testimony, we heard about the dark impulses of few people. You know, we sometimes forget how extraordinary people like Rob Wheeler were, that they were the absolute opposite of the human condition represented by the Tsarnaev brothers. Guys like Rob Wheeler, people that just ran and saved the lives of total strangers, they were the opposite of that.
We went through this trial in what just seems light speed, doesn't
it? It did go fast.
I'm still reeling, trying to remember the stories, but I mean, there were those moments. And those were the most effective witnesses of all, the survivors.
Absolutely.
We also have to say, though, I think we have to say a word for the investigators here. This is the most modern trial I've ever seen in a courtroom. It's stunning because probably the most important, if not the most influential witnesses are non-people, it seems to me. It's the cameras.
Video surveillance.
The ubiquity of cameras. The fact that they could put together, the FBI and investigators could put together a 9-minute video from all the different surveillance cameras on Boylston Street, showing the brothers coming up, turning, and walking down to the finish line. Absolutely stunning.
Everything that was a major part of this case was captured on video, whether it was Boylston Street, whether it was the end of the dramatic carjacking of Dunmeng, whether it was the assassination of MIT police officer
and
Sean
Collier. And even Watertown. There's video and pictures of Watertown itself.
Yeah, it's just extraordinary. I think you've said it, David, over and over, but it bears repeating. This is the most modern trial, I think, in the history of the United States.
And the other moment that still captured me, I mean, I'm a technological Neanderthal. The idea that they could take a GPS that belonged to Tamerlan and they could recover it that day, what, April 18th or 19th, and then follow it back to the end of January and take them all the way from Watertown, the suburb of Boston, all the way to Saugus, farther out from Boston, at a time of day where it stopped and then started again at the 1st of February at a shopping mall. And then they went to the Macy's store, the only place that sells that particular type of pressure cooker, and sure enough, they found, within that half hour that they were there, before the car took off again, they found, they bought the pressure cookers. That was stunning to me.
And so much of that technology is behind the fact that Jihar Zanayev was found guilty of all counts, 17 of which carried the death penalty. And it was almost, when you think about Judy Clark, his lead defense lawyer, the way she basically admitted guilt throughout this, it was almost like she was willing the jurors to, let's get beyond this stage. We have to get to the next phase. And so as much as today was important, the reality is we're going to where this trial, as far as I'm concerned, has always been about. It was never about the guilt of Jihar Zanayev. It was always about the punishment. And that's where we're going now.
We're going there. And by the way, we have to go back to yesterday's podcast. We were talking about the jurors.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked in particular of the restaurant manager,
yes,
who had said during voir dire, when asked whether it would bother her to impose the death penalty, she said, I don't impose the death penalty. The defendants do. They ask me at work about how I feel about firing people. I don't fire people. People fire themselves. We got in the courtroom today and find out she is the forewoman of
Absolutely.
The jury, which the government will be happy
They'll
about
be
as
thrilled.
This goes to the second phase.
Absolutely. If the guilt phase of the trial was about Jihar Zanayev, this next phase, I guess, is about us. Because we, I guess the surrogates being the jurors, our surrogates, we have to decide if the best way to serve justice and honor the victims of Jihar Zanayev and his brother is whether to kill him or whether to put him away for the rest of his natural life.
There are going to be a lot of debates on that. It struck me, Karen Broussard, again, who was injured during the marathon bombing, who spoke for the victims today, was asked whether she wants the death penalty or not. And she said, this is an individual decision. I'm not going to comment on that. And so this is what it comes down to. We talked about this before. Individuals are going to have to make this decision. Individuals that would never have imagined themselves making a decision like that in January when they were in front of the judge, and in February, could never have imagined it, said at the time, in many cases, I don't know what I'll do. Well, now they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do.
And it's a decision that I wouldn't wish on anybody. I can't imagine the responsibility that you would feel. There's nothing that these folks have done prior to their life that would prepare them for this.
The defense attorneys obviously knew this was coming, as you say, anxious to get over it, looked very solemn. I remember Clark, we've talked about what she may do and what she might be called upon to do. You know, I often think of her as the St. Jude of defense attorneys, those with lost causes.
Yeah.
She said in that Susan Smith case, the woman in South Carolina who drowned her children and who faced the death penalty, she said at the time to the jurors, this is not a case about evil. This is a case about despair and sadness. Then she talked about the horrible, horrible decision that Susan Smith made. She made that decision with a confused mind and a heart without hope. But confusion is not evil. Hopelessness is not malice. We haven't heard that case made yet about him in any kind of personal terms, other than that he was a follower. He was the sheep. His brother was the leader. Now we're going to see what she has to offer that we've been wondering about, because we certainly have heard his depiction by the government.
You know, David, when he was captured in that boat in Watertown some days after the bombing, he left this screed behind, this jihadi screed, explaining why he did what he did, why he caused the death of innocents, why he maimed people. And in it, he said he believed in an eye for an eye. And now a jury in Boston has to decide whether they agree with him.
Well, with that, we end for the day. We will be back when the second phase continues. From the Moakley Federal Courthouse, this is Finish Line, inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial. I'm David Boyer from WBUR.
And I'm Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe.
Finish Line, inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial, is a co-production of WBUR and the Boston Globe. New episodes of the podcast will be released multiple times a week throughout the trial after court lets out for the day. You can listen at WBUR.org and at bostonglobe.com, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where new episodes will appear as soon as they're released. Go to the podcast section of iTunes and search Finish Line to subscribe. Thanks for listening.